This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you where we are celebrating the publication of a book that Annie co-wrote for another podcast that she works on, Stuff Mom Never Told You. And so therefore we are joined by a special guest, her co-host and co-writer, Sam McVeigh.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. we have a little bit of a casual chat for y'all because we all like food.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. And so
true statement.
And we like getting together for food. I like very much, Sam, when you invite me over to your home and you give me food.
I was thinking about that. It's been a minute since we've had one of those, and I'm kind of sad. Partially because I don't want to clean. I'm not going to lie. But eventually I'll get it together, clean, and have another feast festival with my coworkers because I've missed it.
A feast festival.
Feast fest.
That's how we're going to call it.
Yeah, I think the last time we were doing it, it was in dubious honor of the show House of the Dragon. So it was a very Game of Thrones worthy feast.
Yeah, because we actually had a cookbook that was Game of Thrones based, and so we tried to find some recipes. I think it was successful. Did you guys think? You might have lied to me. Are you lying to me about my food stuff?
Because oh,
I mean,
I would never.
I'm not really sure.
Well, okay. See, if you had been like, hey, can I come on the show and talk about food with you guys, but your food had been very bad, I might have been like, you know, maybe we'll just mention the book.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better because I'm like, I think I do an okay job, but I'm also absolutely Southern in that, like, everything I cook or do, I'm going to tell you what I did wrong with it first and then let you eat it. And then if you don't compliment me in a most sincere manner, not if you don't compliment me, but in the most sincere manner, I'm thinking you're lying to me. Is that not the way it goes? That's the right way to do this, right?
Sure. You know, whatever system works for you is perfect.
My mom's like that. She's very... I'm just so happy she cooked something for me.
Right.
It tastes great, always. I'm just no, it's great. But in her head, she's dissecting it like, no, I oversalted, or no, I didn't add this, or no, and then she'll
I didn't have this
thing,
and I had to make the substitution, and that anxiety thing of just like, in case it's terrible, let me explain why.
I'm that way, and I really think it's a Southern thing. And then again, maybe listeners will be like, no, that's everybody who But in my head, it's a Southern thing because my mother did this too. And then my partner, his mother, who is from the South, also does the same thing. It's almost comical.
Yeah.
The level that people, again, we do of like self-deprecating, and it's sincerely being anxious about what we just cooked in hopes that we haven't poisoned you somehow.
This is actually part of why I don't like hosting, because I get so anxious about it and I want everything to be perfect and it's never going to be perfect, and that I'm mad at myself for not being some kind of paragon of host humanity. Like,
oh, this is funny to me because I do feel that. I get that. But I'm also like, well, what did you cook? Nothing?
Then I guess I'm doing pretty good.
I like that this is your confident area. Like, typically you're like, oh, I'm sorry. But no, this one's like, but you didn't do anything. So just shut up, okay?
It's actually kind of a bad. I mean, I like it, but sometimes I don't think that it's appropriate because I'll get mad at people, my brother specifically, when they'll come and have not contributed to cooking and are like picking at food. And I'll just be like, I'm the one who's cooking this. You don't get to come in here and pick at the food and make me feel bad because it's not ready yet. Like, no.
No. No. Yeah.
So it is funny. Like, back when Lauren and I were doing Dungeons and Dragons and I would just go all out with these themes, none of you ever made me feel bad, by the way. But, like, oh, I just stopped caring about – I was like, look – this is a fun thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm adding this work to it. And I enjoyed it because I like making food-based puns. It's like part of this whole show.
Yes.
But I eventually was like, they're enjoying it too. And maybe it could have been better. But that's what we have.
I mean, genuinely, like you, again, like you, I'm so happy when someone else makes me food. That is absolutely like the hidden love language that I'm just like, no, please, please do that. That makes me think that you understand that I'm hungry all the time and also have a level of self-preservation because you understand that if I get too hungry, I will be terrible. I will be the absolute worst. And none of us want that. So
I think that goes down for, I don't know. I haven't seen that in Annie, but it's definitely me that I'm like, I'm going to slash your tires if I can't find food in 2 seconds.
Annie, is this why you don't drive?
I'm afraid all the time.
Look, food's that's important. This is my life. Look, no, but that's the thing. It's like, I really love doing gatherings, even though my anxiety is super, super high. And I will say the pandemic kind of quelled that a little bit, and I've done less and less, even though I have bought a home that is more able to that's able to fit more people. It's still like, again, the cleaning thing, to get the getting ready part has been a whole like motivation that I don't have anymore. Like, I'll clean minimally to make sure that nothing stinks and that the hair is pretty much gone from my dog. But outside of that, I'm like, deal with it, there's clutter. like that's kind of how I live. But when people come over, I want it to be nice, you know, I want it to look pretty. And I also kind of do the all out. I feed people thinking that there's going to be 3 times the amount of people that's actually coming. And then I do the both Korean and Southern thing where I'm like, hey, I have leftovers. Take it.
Take them.
And I will find Tupperware to give to you to take with the food.
Yeah, I think you sent me home with like a week's worth of meals.
I try. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I think I've forced Annie to take some food, even though I know she's like, I don't want it. But I'm like, I know you won't eat. So here's this food. Please take it. I have forced friends also to take food. And then when we get like the sponsors, and we love the sponsors. Thank you so much. But sometimes they go overboard with the amount that we need. And I'm like, I don't even have, I know Annie knows, like the space to keep this. So like trying to send out food while I'm having another gathering. Like that's just, I have given Annie packets of ramen. True. As if she's my child coming home from college.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is Lauren has left, like, soups at my apartment, too.
We're going going to feed you. We might be scary, but we're going to feed you.
Oh, no.
But
that's
yes.
great. I mean, I was thinking about that, too, going back to what you said about the pandemic. And I feel like the pandemic for a lot of people just sort of shone a light on what you wanted to, like, what the pressures you wanted to put on yourself, what you, so many of us were so tired.
Yeah. And like, what's actually worth the effort and like, what's it worth to you? Yeah.
Right. And I feel like for me, it became very, because I do love cooking. I know that both of you have sort of a different take, but I really love cooking. But it just became a whole different beast during the pandemic where it was like, what do you have? I can't go to the grocery store. I don't feel safe going to the grocery store. What am I going to do? And so it took on this whole new level. But it also, I would look at someone like my mom who does love doing that. And don't get me wrong, still does it. But like during holidays, it's much less like, that's what it is. That's what it is. And I was trying to think like, going back to this book, it was a very stressful thing to write, and it was during the pandemic and food. I was trying to think of like, what am I going to remember about this food wise, because food does have those kind of like really powerful memories. And I think ramen and soup was like two of the things. That was it. So you nailed it.
What you like? No, yeah. I think the whole thing that's this level of like the comfort bit again, like, and then gathering with family. So I grew up eating family dinners, but in the living room. So I'm not really sure how everybody else did it. And we know that the basis of eating together and getting together has been around for a very long time. However, it may look, it changed to be kind of religious or like homey in the U.S. and like the 40s, 50s, and all of that, and saying prayer and grace. We know that that's kind of a whole thing, and that's not a part of my life necessarily. But there's something about the kitchen, no matter what it is, that when you're together, though there's wide open seats everywhere, like I think it's the funniest thing that I've ever seen, that when you are cooking or gathering for food, people are right there in the kitchen, usually in the way, but having the best conversations that I have ever seen. There's something about this gathering that's when it's not necessarily at the table, but you're still together eating. I feel it's such a comfort in that. And that's one of my favorite things about food. Not only do you, even a complete stranger, if nothing else, you can talk about whatever is happening in this process of whatever's on your plate, whatever's in your cup. Like having that moment in togetherness has been a really powerful thing throughout like all of society, I feel like. But again, kind of walking away from the table, even it's like, it's almost better.
Yeah. I mean, like I like a nice fancy sit down dinner is just fine. But there's something about having like that freewheeling kind of conversation where you're still like engaged in an activity that isn't just eating. And so like you can kind of, I don't know, like the multitasking part is fun. I'm like, yeah, please give me something to do. Give me something to do with my hands. I get bored very easily. Like that I probably need something going on.
Right. I'm thinking specifically with the gathering we had for the House of the Dragon, and then like explaining what I'm making from the recipe and having people standing there watching, and then like having a whole conversation about beets. We had a whole conversation around beets. I loved that. That's such an interesting thing to me that's what we could. And then we were all having, of course, there's pockets of conversations happening in the kitchen. Once again, not anywhere in the sitting area, in the kitchen and dining room, but like having those kind of moments and reminiscing and loving something or talking about something relevant, as in like, I know you and Annie come in with like the food things that I never think about because of the show. I know this. Y'all are like, we talked about
Well, actually, let me tell you about beets.
I learned a lot about bananas and avocados. I'm not as grateful for that because that makes me sad. But
Yeah. Sorry about it.
It's okay. So things I need to know. But that's that level of conversation that I love. But the connections that we have in that as well, of the gatherings. And then, like, you've talked about this before, Lauren, where you're like, I missed that. Can we do this again and let me have this theme? And I'm like, yeah, we will. And I haven't. But we will. But that's level of like camaraderie that I love when we talk about food. And then also like with that, I did a whole thing with centering it around Korean New Year's because we were talking about Chinese New Year's, the Asian calendar, which the Koreans do celebrate as well. And my ethnicity is Korean. And I have talked about our own show on Sminty about trying to find my identity, essentially, as an adopted Korean woman who came to the U.S. when I was 7. There's a lot of things that I have memories of, but it's not quite clear. And one of the biggest triggers for me from, like, my past is food. And with that, it took me, like, forever to come to a point to actually want to remember the taste and the like, different senses in that. And I don't know. That is my biggest, like, when I have a flashback, it's because of food, typically. And it's such an odd sensation when something is familiar and you're trying to place it and all you have is the taste. But with that, like, I have really tried to open myself up to that. And the last 3 years have experimented with Korean food. And Annie has been a victim.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
All of my recipes thus far. So, Annie, how am I doing?
I've been a very happy participant. I tried to recreate some of them myself, and not nearly as good.
Oh, yeah. Did you try to recreate the kimchi jjigae? You did. So that is my go-to comfort Korean food now. And there is a small, like, restaurant type of vendor, I guess, at H Mart. In our local H Mart, and is a couple of older women, ajummas, who, like, you know, they cook their down home cooking. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Like, I will go and try to get 2 or 3 orders and save it up because I love it so much. Theirs is much better than mine, by the way.
would you explain the dish for anyone who's unfamiliar?
Sure. So kimchi jjigae is literally, jjigae means stew in Korean, and it's based off of, you just get a lot of kimchi juice and kimchi. Typically, pork belly is used in it, tofu, green onions, all the tasty stuff that you would imagine, all boiling together for about an hour. And then you eat it with rice. It is so good. It's the perfect level of spice, the perfect level of meatiness, and perfect, like, warmth to it. And I still eat it in the summer. In Atlanta, I still do it because I still
love it. Yeah, that's fine. Pickles are cooling.
So good. But, like, it's one of my favorite dishes. And then I tried to do the Korean New Year's dish, which is tteokguk, which is the rice cake soup with seaweed and doing all that. And again, Annie was a victim to that one. That one I thought was really good. Because it was the first time I ever tried it. I did the perfect little egg. I was very proud of myself on that one.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I was like,
you were very worried about it.
I was. It's a whole talent. I didn't think I could, but I did.
You did. Annie was shaking her head vehemently about the use of the word victim again. So,
it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, we did that. And then because, like, the idea is, like, they have rice cakes, which is tteokbokki, but it's, like, thin. It looks like coins. So it gives you, like, the seaweeds, like, dollars. Sure. And then bringing in, like, the new year, all of that. So I don't know if it's worth, though. I guess kind of. Do I have extra coins?
The vibe, though, is it's again, like, going back to that, like, gathering and joyful experience, because so many cultures do have something like that. And it's not like at the end you count up, like, I guess I didn't eat enough collard greens this year. I'm screwed. It's more like it's a tradition. It's a tradition that you celebrate and have hope for. Like, that this will maybe
help out.
I mean, why not? Why not eat something delicious? And if it brings you good luck, then aces, you know?
Go for it. It's been a whole adventure, like, trying to discover all of that and using food as kind of, like, a main source or a catalyst to something that's so important to me. And then, like, the idea that, again, I had to share it I have to share what I'm learning or what I'm feeling with the people that I love. So like more and more as I'm like, okay, we're going to get Korean food. You have to eat this, this, and this, and try and explain why it's so significant and why it's so delicious. And yes, you have to like it. You don't. I'm just kidding. but like trying to like open up my heart, like open up other people's excitement because I'm so excited about relearning and finding a good place through food, even though it can be really, really damaging. And you know, there's so many things when it comes to trauma and learning about yourself and undoing some of the trauma and taking things that can be connected to that, such as triggering by food memories or whatever, whatnot, is really interesting to go down and that, having that path. But again, making it a new experience, you know, with the people that I call family now or I chose as part of my family has been a big part in loving this food. Having a partner who's just as excited as I am about trying these different types of food, real adventurous in that. Like, it's so encouraging. And again, it is reshaping something that I have tried to forget or have ran away from or have been scared of for so long. I will say I still get very nervous when I go into Korean restaurants because for the longest time I refused to go because I didn't want to be called out for not being a quote unquote true Korean, you know, and there's moments. But like as I'm starting to get older and as I'm starting to get more confident, and then again, as I'm finding the groups of people that are loving it and discovering things with me, it's been phenomenal. And I think it's like a testament, again, that the power of what food can do in all of this. And something that we wanted to include in our book in that realm was the story of Georgia Gilmore. And I know y'all have talked about her previously and her role in the civil rights movement, her role with Martin Luther King Jr., and her role for Alabama, and some of the things that she did, even just in the court cases that she was involved in to push back against the racism and the anti-racist policies that were happening then. And her like legacy has a lot to do with her food, which apparently is really hard to find. We really try to find it. But stories like hers and her contributions again with food, using her as a her cooking as a catalyst to these amazing meetings and get-togethers and fundraising for this organization. And we wanted to add stuff like that in that conversation in our book. It's just like a small portion of the book. And Annie got to write a section in our book about the power of food in itself and why foods and protest foods, such as stuff like this, was so important and including it in our book. And we wanted to make sure that people understood how powerful these movements are and how the foundation of gathering for food can make such a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah, because that was one of the things we really wanted. We struggled with was, you know, who are we going to include? Who are we not going to include in something like this? But one of the things about big movements like the civil rights movement is all of the people who were behind the scenes, like making the food that made it possible, and who don't get enough attention or spotlights. And so Lauren and I, we had an episode about protest cookbooks or kind of providing those recipes or highlighting those recipes and why it's important. And it was something that always stuck with me. And so, yeah, we wanted to make sure to put that in there. That part, I think a lot of people don't think about that much.
I mean, because it is, I mean, of course, food is something that we literally physically need, or we get angry and, eventually, like, cannot continue moving about. It is also about hospitality, and it's about sharing part of your culture with everyone else who's eating with you. And it's about like trying to either call up or form those pleasant memories. And it can be so pleasurable and so nice and so comforting. And so it really is all forms of nourishment at the same time. And when you start getting into these movements, you know, like, you can just give everyone a bunch of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or whatever it is that it is. But if you make something nice and make people want to be there and make them feel welcome, then you have a lot more strength.
Right. It's really interesting because we try to find a recipe from hers, but I don't think she wrote down recipes. People try to recreate what she has made, like desserts and cakes. And people say, I think this is what she made. I think this is close to what she had. I have yet to see anything that's like, yeah, this is exactly what she made. And which I know talented people who can do that blow my mind. I cannot for the life of me, because I need a recipe. Like, even to this day, things that I may have like made 10,000 times, I still have to go back to look at the recipes to remember what was in there at the very least. Like, I might not need the measurements anymore, but I need to remember at least the basics of that.
Yeah, the basic recipe. Like the proportion of like this much to this much concept. And then I'm like, oh, okay, go. Yeah, exactly. No, I cannot keep that math in my head.
She made cakes. And to me, baking, you need those. Yeah, like you have to have exact measurements or you're going to come out with like a rock.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I need like a kitchen scale. Like, I don't even trust a measuring cup. Like, I'm like, no. Let's make sure that we're doing this correctly. This is very important.
I have to go back and reread. I'm like, did that say tablespoon or teaspoon? Tablespoon, teaspoon, tablespoon, teaspoon. Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
Makes a difference. Yeah. Never... yep.
Well, I know. Yep. I've made many a mistake.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make some type of broth the other day, and it said 6 parts to 1 part. And I was like,
I hate that.
Okay, but okay.
I hate that.
This is more than I want to do.
A pinch of this, a pinch of that. Like, I love that. I'm like, I need y'all to give me exact. I can't do that because different people have different hands. I don't understand. Right.
What the heck is a pinch?
Like,
I don't know what that is. I mean, if you need to like measure it out and tell me it's an eighth of a teaspoon, I'm fine with that. Like, I can handle that information.
Right, that's what I need. Like, I'm going to need those 0.33 whatever to know that I'm close to this level.
Just give it to me in grams, like
somebody.
Like, I'm going to figure it out that way. That's fine.
At this point, I'm like converting everything on Google. I'm like, Google, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
Not a sponsor. Yeah. But just a little too reliant.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
But yeah, I do find it fascinating when people are so talented that they just create their own things. And I know that they exist. I see them on TV. The movies, I don't believe so much. Like the, oh, I feel it in my heart. There's the souffle. And I'm like, but for those who are like the actual professional chefs in the world or doing these things, creating new recipes, I'm like, wow, I don't understand. But can I have some?
Right, sure. I would love to be your friend. Can we hang out?
Yes. That is my, like, I try to find the friends who cook well.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
It's, I feel like I'm usually the human who brings desserts to gatherings. That's traditionally been my shtick because I'm, or the drinks. Like, I'm good. I feel better about baking because it is so precise. And I'm like, as long as I follow this recipe and like understand, and like I understand the science pretty well. So like I can figure it out. But, but other than that, another useful skill is for sure, just going to as many restaurants as possible and knowing the good ones to go to and what to order there.
Right.
And that, I feel like that is my skill set. Like if we're forming a D&D party of culinary skills right now, I think that that's my specialty.
I like it. I was going to say, I'm really good at eating food.
Same. Yes.
Just letting you know. And as we're talking about Korean food, I am craving it and I'm going to have to order from my little Korean restaurant over here because I needs it.
Honestly, this is the savor curse. You get to experience it.
Yeah. Is this what happens? Because
Every time we talk about something.
You do. Actually, Annie does come back. She's like, well, so we talked about this and I want this. So we're going to have to go get this.
It's really legit. I cannot get the last time that I have. I'm not sure if it's the exact same thing that you were talking about, but the last time that I had a really good Korean like kimchi tofu stew, and I'm just going
jjigae. Yes.
I want it right now.
The kimchi jjigae.
It's really good.
Go to H Mart. Those ladies. They know what they're doing.
They really do.
I think they've started to recognize me. It's just like. Kimchi jjigae. Like, and she's also recognized that I can't speak Korean well, so I'm like, yes, gamsahamnida, bye, and then run away. That's how I do it, essentially. But, you know, I've gotten really good at making banchans, which are the the side dishes. I've gotten two of my favorites, and I try to keep that on hand. I'm doing better. I'm doing better with this.
Great.
Thank you. We had a conversation about like I could come and share a recipe. I don't know if I'm quite ready for that. I'll actually have to email, copy and paste, and email it to y'all.
That makes perfect sense. A personal recipe. Oh wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I do some different things, but it's delicious. But yeah, I think that one of the I can talk forever about how I feel like these types of gatherings are just. So important because we used to do a whole cheese game. Man, I haven't done that one in a minute.
Cheese nights.
Yeah.
Cheese night.
Where it would consist of 8 cheeses, breads, like fruits, and then it ends up being a full meal.
Cheese feast.
And then game night.
Yeah. I miss our game nights for sure.
We haven't done that in a minute.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about it. I feel so like funny. We need to do it. Absolutely. Now that I'm seeing you, because typically, as of recent, it's just like when we go out, and I barely go out. Sorry, Andrew. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
No, it's hard. I mean, like, you recently bought this house. I'm sure that, you just wrote a book. That was probably taking up a little bit of your time.
Oh, that was a moment. That was a thing. Yeah, this ongoing. Book.
Don't say it's over.
Which is, so today, officially, I know this is not, I don't know if it's being released today, but as we're recording, we received our final copy. I received, Annie hasn't gotten hers yet. I received our final copy. I'm very excited about it. And I was asked, like, how are you feeling? I'm like, it means more work. It is very exciting because, you know, we accomplished something. I am proud of it. Again, like having people like Georgia Gilmore in the book and talking about things that are not well known, that's something very important to us, that we do talk about the basics, but then we add and make sure that we are giving flowers to those who have been ignored or overlooked or oftentimes overlooked. That's something very, very important to us as a show, you know, just as intersectional feminists in general, like that's something that we want to do and give credit to at all times. But yeah, working to try to get all that together to make sure that are being respectful of its content.
No pressure.
Like, yeah, right? Like, that's so much to this that it was a lot. It's a lot of work, for sure. We definitely had moments of, like, when we end this, when we're done with this book, we have to do these following things. And it, of course, had to do with food and drinks. And I think we still hold our milestones to that. Any significant milestones.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, goodness. Well, right, because, okay, we probably should have said at the top, if y'all are unfamiliar with Stuff Mom Never Told You, the show, sometimes we call it Sminty because that's fun. It is a show about feminism and how it do, and how it has done, and how it might be doing in the future, and intersectionality, and how it interacts with all of these different other movements and other people and histories. And so, yeah, so no big. So, like, no big. Like, just trying to distill that into a book when you're just two human people who are not representative of the entire feminist movement or...
at all.
You know.
Nope. And have full-time jobs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just a fun little side project. Just a fun, just right on the side, you know?
Don't worry about us. Just fine.
This is suddenly sounding like a hostage negotiation.
It's fine.
Is everything a blink twice?
Blink twice, yeah.
but right, like, and then going through the publishing process and getting, I mean, right, like, but before we started recording, like, you just showed me a physical copy of the book that you were holding in your hand, Sam, and that's pretty rad. That's pretty cool. Did I hear y'all correctly when you said that there's food and drink involved in getting the books?
I wish.
Are we okay? Oh no.
We give ourselves in our rewards. Like, we this is how we
Can we throw a party?
Reward. Yeah.
Can we throw a book party?
Well, you can throw a party as long as we don't have to do anything except for eat and drink.
Sure. Yes. That was the idea.
Okay, great. Like, don't ask us to read anything. Don't ask.
Oh,
no Q&A.
No Q&A.
Can you imagine how awkward it would be if we rolled up to a party and were like, I must read an excerpt of the book.
Everybody not like sit down. We will reenact.
Not like you're
three.
At a bookstore and it happens, but like I show up at your home.
Just at my house. And it's not like a salon, like we're not having an evening like that.
And it's a long excerpt.
Oh. Again, we're acting this out. We're going to take, so in the book,
yes,
it's so fun. We have Helen Troy, who is an illustrator in Atlanta. She did a graphic novel portion at the beginning of all of our fun chapters. So that's what we're going to be acting out, like as if we are part of the graphic novel.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It will involve acting.
We say acting in quotes.
Yes. There were heavy scare quotes implied there.
Yes, but I was thinking about that too in terms of like the gatherings and because I think we all have been to other book release events. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that will come up is like, there's no food here. So there's sort of the funny angle of but I want food.
Right,
and drinks
food?
Though. And that's been a complaint about our office over the years, is like whether or not the food situation
what's happening
is on
sure.
par.
Exactly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I do. So, the only times I came into the office when I first started working was because there was food. I was like, oh.
There was lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll
it's
come for lunch.
It's a great way to get me to come in. Absolutely.
Oh, I love. Yeah. Let's be honest about this.
I mean.
I'm hoping, I mean, I'm nervous and I kind of don't want to do it, but I also am hoping we have some kind of release party that has food. But as of yet, I don't know. I don't know. But we could do something. We could arrange something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We love food. Yeah. If nothing else, I just bought a house and it might be ready to receive people by like Halloween. So Halloween book re-release.
Halloween at your house, and then I can come in so costume. Okay, Annie just wants to be in costume. That's fine. We know this. You can come in costume anytime. No matter what. Yeah, every time. At all times.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will say.
You're always low-key cosplaying, though. That's a constant with
you. I love when someone realizes it. It's like one of my favorite things if a random person is like, is that Spider-Man? I'm like, yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's just like a t-shirt and jeans, but it's a specific t-shirt and jeans. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of nerd stuff in this book as well, which should be no surprise. But there's like a lot of in-depth looks at fictional characters and tropes and stuff like that. So also fun, I think.
If you're familiar with our show, you will see where our personalities are in this book more often than not. Like it is very, very clear like who did this.
Yeah.
Just kind of like anything else. They're like, yeah, this is definitely Annie's love right here. And it's all the fictional women. And does she talk about Leia? Of course. Inevitably.
You cannot write a book about feminism and not involve Leia, General Leia. Thank you.
Come on. You're lucky the whole book isn't that. Or are you? If you like that.
We did tell her she had a limit.
Yeah, they put a limit on me.
Okay, that's fair.
I couldn't spread my wings fully.
To be honest, that's probably for the good of all of us.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I love when people write in to this show. And they write in about, oh, your conversation on Squab. Hello, Kale, who just wrote in. made me think of Hey Arnold and this episode of Hey Arnold that I haven't thought about in like since the 90s. And so there is like the way that food impacts all of your memories in that way, where it can be something so powerful and, you know, behind movements and all this stuff, but it also can be like, oh yeah, that episode of Hey Arnold that I had totally forgotten. So I feel like the nerd aspect of this book can relate to food.
Right. I mean, I've talked about this episode repeatedly from Hook. it's just clay, but you think it's really good food. And that scene will never leave my mind. And I will think, I want to eat that. Even though I'm looking at it as an adult, like, that's just clay. Well, how did they
eat that? That's definitely clay.
But it looks that's 100%. So good.
It does. And I have an idea of what it tastes like in my head. And it's such a strong memory.
I mean, want it.
To be fair, yeah, I watched that movie a lot when I was a kid. But
me too.
But
me too.
Forever.
I love it.
Forever Mom in the Room.
It's like try the gray stuff. It's delicious. Like
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to Disney and do that now, but but similar vibe. Yeah.
I don't
it ruins a little
enough.
Bit of the mystery for me, apparently. Yeah. It's Annie made us
We went together.
The last time I was there with Annie.
That's why what I add to this D&D culinary thing. It's like the reservation part.
Oh, yeah.
Whose house was that? Oh,
that's at Bell's.
Oh, Bell's. I thought it was Bell's. I can't remember for sure, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No. We also got some escargot there. It was really nice.
Did we? Wow, I cannot remember this.
That's okay.
I just remember eating a lot of chips because I get really nauseous on the ride. So I'm like, I have to go eat salt now.
I mean, again, that's another... seemingly, quote, simple food that has this memory for
every
you
time.
Over, like, the
Lauren being very supportive. She's like, yeah, let's go get you some chips. Yeah. Because I'm like, I'm not doing this.
You've got to look out for yourself. And we got to look out for each other.
Yes, and we did.
We do.
Yes. Oh, well. I love, it was so nice to just have this conversation together. It is true. That is one of the like sadder aspects of this conversation is the pandemic really made that gathering part a lot harder. And it was difficult. I remember like the, you know, your Zoom hangout hours and happy hours and all that stuff. And it was really difficult. And now we're starting to get back into it, but it has been slow goings.
Again, we're all tired, and that's fair.
Tired, yes. But yeah, it is like seeing all of us together. It's like, oh yeah, we used to do this all the time, but it was nice. It was nice to have this moment.
Yes. Thank you for letting me rant about how much I love food.
You're in the right place.
Anytime? Yeah.
I'm like, yes, I'll come talk about food. I love it.
Yes. I do feel like I'm living the, what is it, the crossover event of the century. Was that quote? I feel like I'm having that because we're all coming together in my two podcast worlds.
We were speaking of food, we've been talking about trying to have Lauren on our show, at least for the happy hour, because also I wanted to do, because you, Lauren, had gotten me a cookbook. Wait, is it you? It was you, right, Lauren? You got me a supernatural cookbook.
That was me.
Was that you?
She got you the towel.
Okay, the relation.
The kitchen
and
towel.
Then,
yeah, sure.
I knew it was something. I was like, "There's supernatural something," and then having like a recipe from that, and then sharing it together because you had just found your new love of supernatural, and so we were going to come together and celebrate it because I had also found my love during the pandemic of supernatural.
Right. Yeah, each of us went on our own separate journeys with that. Because like for the longest time, I was like, I'm not getting into that show.
Right.
Do you know how many episodes that show has? Like, it's been on for how many seasons? I'm never going to watch that. I don't have the time. And then the pandemic happened, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to watch that show.
And then I've watched it about 45, 50 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I actually read an interesting statistic about that recently, about like what happened during the pandemic with certain shows and like just like all these boosts of people just trying to find like, okay, I've watched this, like
I've got time now.
So that is interesting.
But
yes, thank you Samantha,
yes,
for coming on. And yes, Lauren should come on to Sminty.
Yeah let me know. I love also ranting about things, so that's
I wanted to bring you on to talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre too.
Yes.
<That's right. laughs>
Yes. So, Oh my heck. If y'all have never seen this movie, it is wet, in my opinion, far superior to Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1. It is bonkers.
You're gonna get emails.
It is straight bonkers, and I adore it. So yeah, no, let's do that. Let's do that like right now.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Amazing.
Also, yes, we do have a book.
Yeah.
We have a really cool audiobook. Yeah. It has like, we did not do the graphic novel portion. They bought in a professional who does that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it has like sound effects and soundscaping. It's really, really cool. You can pre-order both the book and that, or order it. Because again, who knows when you're listening to this?
Sure.
At stuffyoushouldreadbooks.com. And we would appreciate it if you did. Thank
yes,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm so proud of you guys and so happy that it is winding down.
We hope so. Yes, and thank you.
Crossing our fingers.
Yes.
Well, yes. Thank you so much, Sam, for being here. Thank you all. Thank you all for listening.
Yes. And if you want to email us, SaverPod, you can also find Sminty, but it's easy. Well, it's kind of complicated.
It was not. I was just like, that's a lie.
It's kind of complicated. You can figure it out. But if you would like to email Saver, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
And we're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.